Well, God's name is near and very dear to us. It was placed upon us in the waters of baptism. When you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God's name was placed upon you. You were brought into the family of God, and so you're called His. It's no surprise then that when the spiritual family, this congregation, gathers, that we begin our and end our liturgy with the name that defines us. Our liturgy begins with the baptismal blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the sign of the cross is placed upon you by the pastor. And you receive it by making the sign upon yourself, since baptism is a participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. In similar fashion, we conclude our liturgy with the Aaronic benediction from number 6. In both instances, we have God's name placed upon us in blessing. Now, I'd like you to notice, too, my posture during both of these blessings. I face you as the spokesman of God, marking you as the chosen children of God. The Lord tells Moses, "So shall they, Aaron and his sons, put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." The blessing is from the Lord, even though it's bestowed through the Lord's called pastors. And the rubric for the benediction at the end is a pastor with outstretched arms, as if ready to bless you. And at the words, "and give you peace," again, the sign of the cross is made and marking you. And again, you receive it by marking it upon yourself. You are God's children, the new Israel by water and the word. So from the start to the close of Christian worship, it's all done in the name of the Lord. Now, of course, sinful people like to come up with all kinds of names and ways to worship God. Not the true God, mind you, but a God of our own making. For it is the nature of man to seek out the divine. Man in their heart of hearts knows that there is something bigger than themselves, something bigger than the known world. But in sinful ignorance or willfulness, man will seek for and make gods in their own image. And those gods end up looking exactly like mankind does. But we see that the children of Israel pleaded with God to rescue them from bondage and slavery in Egypt. But when rescued, they didn't approve of how God was doing it. And so they sought a God that would take them back to the enslaving comforts of their bondage. We can relate. We can so relate. Because you and I are well aware of how enslaved we are to our sins. We know how they hurt and alienate those around us. But yet we recognize our sins and we confess them and ask for forgiveness. And God, who is faithful and just, forgives our sins. But even being forgiven in weakness, we find ourselves tempted to return to the false comforts and pleasures of our sin, just like a dog returning to its own vomit. This is our struggle in the wilderness of this world. The deserts of Sinai were a picture of the problems we face as God's children in this world. But God didn't leave Israel to their imaginations and their apostasies. He gave them the deliverer Moses and the priesthood. These were pictures of what was to come. His deliverance from sin and death through Jesus, the new and greater Moses, and the apostolic ministry of reconciliation, the new and greater priesthood. God did not leave us alone. He didn't leave Israel alone, and he doesn't leave us alone either, to make up his name or worship. He gave them to us in his word. And number 6 is a revelation of God's name and work. Now, of course, this will be expanded and perfected in the birth of the God-man Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. But in the benediction at the end, we have God's revealed name, we have his work, and we have his purpose. And taking note of this, we also see that according to the blessing, again, this blessing is spoken corporately to the whole congregation of Israel. But you know, all of those yous in the benediction are singular. They're not plural yous like y'all. And so this is a personal blessing. It is for you individually, even though it is pronounced corporately. And I want you also to notice how it's Trinitarian in structure, right? Because God is three in one. The mystery of the Trinity, imagine that, is revealed even in the Old Testament. First of all, we see the Lord's name, Yahweh, right? I am. The one who always was, always will be, without beginning, without end, the creator and sustainer of all that is. And that's how the blessing begins. The Lord, or Yahweh, bless you and keep you. The Lord's blessing is the Lord's creating, keeping, tending, caring, and protecting. You're his garden, his flock, his temple, his body. He created you and now sustains you and protects you as his own. The next phrase, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This defines the blessing more closely as the manifestation of God's grace and gracious work in the person of Jesus Christ. In Hebrew, it's the Panim Yahweh, the face of God, the face of the Lord. It's the personality of God, God's presence explained in these very human, personal terms. And then the word grace used there, hanan in Hebrew. It's used in the Old Testament for mercy. Mercy that is given by one who is greater to one who is lesser. Like someone who is wealthy or has authority, giving mercy, showing mercy to one who is poor or destitute. David, he leads off the 51st Psalm with this word in his plea for God's forgiveness and mercy. When God's face shines upon you, it is the grace won for you by Christ on the cross. In Christ, God no longer looks upon you with wrath or anger, but rather in fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. And then finally, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And here again, we have the Panim Yahweh, the face of God. I mean, it's described as countenance, but it literally means face. The blessing is for God's face to be upon you for peace. There's no enmity between God and you because of Christ's work. You are at peace with God. This reality is recognized now in this world, but it'll also find fulfillment in the world to come in eternal life. When Jesus finished his work on the cross, he ascended to send the Comforter. And the Comforter's duty is to tell you all things that Christ has done for you and remind you of Christ's presence with you until the end of the ages, until you rest in peace and are present with him in heaven. The Prince of Peace came to grant you peace. Christ was born, and now there's peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And may you find peace in him in this new year. For you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.